Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Welcome back into the Letterman Lounge, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, college football recruiting fans of all ages. Yes, that is a spinoff of the Tim May Show intro, but that's because we've got such a big show here for you guys. That's Matt Parker on the other side of that screen. I am Spencer Holbrook. Finally getting down, Matt, the whole you're on the other side of my screen, so I have to point the wrong direction. How are you?
Around the world. I was waiting for that one, but I'm good. That was quite the day maker already as we sit here at 9 a.m. on Thursday. So I'm good. Feeling recharged after not being on the road with you guys last week. Just doing some recruiting things. It was weird, by the way, not being with you guys on a game day. That was pretty weird. But feeling recharged and ready to go this weekend. There's a big one coming up for the Buckeyes.
Where'd you go, Matt?
Well, last Friday, I went to lovely Toledo, Ohio, to Whitmer High School, where I was.
The Paris of the Midwest.
Some are saying. Watched 2025 four-star offensive tackle Carter Lowe out of Whitmer High School. And written pretty extensively about that at lettermanrow.com, which we're having a pretty banging sale right now to join the site, by the way. 50% off for your first year, I believe, is the deal. So maybe we can put the link to join in the description of the video, Spence. What do you think?
I think we should do that. There will be a lot of links to join a lot of things in that show because we got a couple of partners here that we're going to get to later in the show.
Yeah, we'll also get more into Carter Lowe later in the show as well.
Oh, nice sneak peek, Matt. So let's go. Ohio State's hosting every recruit in the On3 300 this weekend against Penn State. No, it's not really that, but it feels like that. Matt, let's set the table here, okay? We need the forks, the knives, the spoons, the salad plate, the wine glass, or the Kool-Aid glass, if you will. We need the water glasses. We need the bowls, the salad plates.
That's a big spread.
Well, it is a big spread, and if you want the full spread, you can go to – I shouldn't say it like that. If you want the full visitors list, you can go to lettermanrow.com. There's no full spreads in lettermanrow.com.
Jeez, this show has been on for 3 minutes, and it is already derailed. Well, if you're watching already and you're sticking with us, we appreciate you.
That's what we do here, Matt. Matt, my sticky note says the name of some recruits because the list, quite honestly, is too long to just go through and name all the names. A lot of times, like, let's take the Maryland game, for example. Let's take Western Kentucky, for example. Like, it's okay to go through on this show and just list off guys who are coming. Like, oh, 2025, you got this guy and this linebacker, the quarterback. Nobody wants to listen to that. There's way too many guys. Just being honest. Like, full transparency, we could do 45 minutes where we just sit here one name at a time, a minute for each, and just give, like, this is who this guy is. And it would take 45 minutes to get through. That's how many kids there are coming to this game. So I know for a fact, and you do too, that Ohio State has turned some kids away because you can't host everybody. So you and I, in the true sense of talking ball, are going to draft important visitors. Because if we didn't do it that way, and maybe we can do some name a guy there at the end, but if we didn't do it this way, we wouldn't be able to have like a coherent show except for just naming guys. So let's get into it, Matt. We've each got four or five names that we really think are key visitors for Ohio State, number three Ohio State versus number seven Penn State. And you get to start us off with pick one. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. That means the pick is in.
Just like me and my New England Patriots, we have the number one overall pick. That team stinks. But unlike the New England Patriots, I'm going to make a draft pick that makes sense. And that it should be expected, right? And it's Jeremiah Smith. It has to be. Any single time that the number one overall prospect in the country happens to be committed to you, by the way, you being Ohio State in this little tangent or rant here, whatever you want to call this. Anytime your highest rated prospect, your highest rated commit, the number one overall prospect in the country is visiting your campus as a commit and he's committed to you, that has to be the most important visitor for Ohio State this weekend, especially since we all know that Jeremiah Smith has visited other places. And as we have said ad nauseum,
really,
at this program, at this specific program, as some folks call a program, we're a program with an A around here, it doesn't matter if he goes to Miami or Florida or Florida State, because as long as Ryan Day and Brian Hartline are at Ohio State in December, he's going to sign his letter of intent to Ohio State. Jeremiah Smith will be getting put into college shape by Mick Marotti and the rest of the training staff in January. That said, he's going to go take more visits. He's going to go visit other places after this Ohio State Penn State game. But it matters significantly that he's on campus, because it seems like just about the entire 2024 class, minus like one or two guys, is going to be on campus. And that's the first time that I can think of where the entire class basically has been on campus at the same time. So because Jeremiah Smith is naturally going to be a leader for this class because of just who he is and how highly ranked he is and what he has the potential to do for and at Ohio State. So yeah, that's my number one overall pick is Jeremiah Smith. 5-star wide receiver out of Chamadon Dana Prep. I think they have Prep in there somewhere. I don't know. But that's my pick. You're on the
clock. And you're sticking to it?
That's right. I am sticking to it.
All right. Well, I'm going to go with another 5-star in the 2024 class. My years are all jumbled because it's 2023.
We were talking about Jermaine Matthews all week, and he was a 5-star in 2023. So checks out. I got it. I got you.
Go to the other Letterman Row shows if you want to hear about Jermaine Matthews. And I wrote about him at LettermanRow.com this week. Matt, I'm going to go in 2024 just to shore up things in this class. I think you got to keep Edrick Houston locked in. He's going to be on campus again on Saturday to watch Ohio State, Penn State. Going to watch Tyleek Williams do his thing against the Penn State front. Going to watch JT Tuimola because he's versatile. He could play outside in the future, could play inside in the future. That is Edrick Houston. So I think that it's important for him to be on campus to see this against a top-tier opponent. And I think it's important for Ohio State to keep him coming to campus just to make sure, like, hey, I don't think there's any inclination that there's any fear from Ohio State that's going to happen, that something could go awry there. But I do think it's important to get him on campus as much as possible. So he's my first round pick. Is like, you know, I like to build out. It all starts up front, as every national college football show likes to say. Oh, you guys, you talk about the skill positions, but hey, let me tell you, it all starts up front. Big dumb football guy.
That's his first appearance on the show in a while.
Yeah. Well, there's more where that came from. I think it's very important for Ohio State to have Edrick Houston on campus just to keep shoring that relationship up, make sure he knows where he stands with this class. And, you know, to get a guy coming from Georgia for a second time here in a few weeks, I think is pretty big for the Buckeyes. So give me Edrick Houston there. Thoughts before you get to your second round pick?
Yeah, I just want to reiterate the point that you made. There isn't any thought about Edrick Houston leaving the class. I think the biggest thing is just if your 5-stars are able to come to campus, get them to campus. That's literally what it is. So I just want to reiterate that point in case someone decided to stop listening. Relax. Take a breath. It's okay. You know, like, it's all right. Edrick Houston had been committed to Ohio State for like 3 weeks before he announced it. So like, let's relax. That's my stance.
Second round pick, man.
Good pick.
Thank you.
My pick for the second round here, I'm going to stick with the 2024 class, kind of showed my hand there. But I'm also going to stick with wide receivers, and I'm going to go with another Jeremiah McClellan. Now, this visit is again obviously it's important if we're sitting here talking about it, right? He's taken visits to Missouri and to Oregon after being committed to Ohio State since August. And it's pretty interesting right now, Spence. Like, I won't lie to you. There is, I'm not saying that, like, I'm putting him on decommit watch or I'm not putting him on flip watch or anything like that. I want to make that very clear. But I also want to make it clear that he is listening to what Dan Lanning's program has to say out there in Eugene and what the in-state Missouri Tigers are saying. I just saw the other day that someone placed a prediction for five-star wide receiver Ryan Wingo to go to Missouri. He's a St. Louis kid as well. So is Jeremiah. So that's pretty significant. They already have Williams Winery in the class as well, although a lot of people are expecting him. I hear things about Oklahoma getting involved there, but we're not here to talk about Missouri recruiting. We're here to talk about Jeremiah McClellan. I think it's interesting, and you've seen a lot of promotion of Oregon and Missouri on Mr. McClellan's social media pages, particularly on the IG, aka Instagram. That's what the kids call it, IG. That means I guess to me. I don't know, you know. I just had a birthday. I'm old now, so all of that to say, you've seen him the last, I don't know, maybe month or so kind of promote like Oregon and Missouri and stuff like that. But all week this week, it's been nothing but Ohio State. And like, I think, I don't know, memory might be a little fuzzy on this. I think he tweeted something about like being locked in or like something about Ohio State and Buckeye Nation. And there were a bunch of the emojis that people use to show the Buckeyes, although apparently those are actually chestnuts, I learned the other day. But this is kind of a tangent, and I understand that, but there's a point to this. And the point is that he has openly shown that he is still listening to other places. But he was at Purdue last week for Ohio State Purdue, which that happened because his high school played in Indianapolis Friday night. He was able to Purdue doing a little bit of transfer portal recruiting there. So good on the Boilermakers for doing that. But he saw Ohio State. He saw what Ohio State did last week. And now he's going to be in Columbus for his first game day visit since probably the 2023 season. Because I know he has a 2022 season. So yes, Jeremiah McClellan. That's my pick. I'm sticking with it. You're up.
Devin Sanchez. We talk about him a lot. Don't got to say anything else. Here's how the show goes, Matt. You had said you want to talk about Devin Sanchez.
I did.
This is a little behind the curtain here.
I actually had it circled on my...
You said you want to talk about Devin Sanchez. I said, okay, in that case, I'll talk about Trey McNutt and Dorian Brew, who are also visiting. And I forgot to write down Trey McNutt and Dorian Brew on the handy-dandy note card I have here. And I still have Devin Sanchez written down. So now I'm just going to toss it to you to talk about my pick, Devin Sanchez, and your pick, Dorian Brew, and Trey McNutt. Because I'm an idiot who just messed up the entire flow of the show.
Big dumb football guy. Really making an appearance today, folks.
That's me.
Let me establish the precedent here that Ohio State's three-man 2025 class and Tavian St. Clair, Javon Boggs, and Blake Woodby are all going to be on campus this weekend. So keep that in the back of your mind as we talk about what we're about to get into here. Blake Woodby is the four-star cornerback from St. Francis Academy out there in Baltimore, Maryland, committed like with 10 minutes left in the Ohio State-Purdue game. So it kind of worked out that I wasn't there with you guys, so I was able to hit publish and, you know, do all the things that I got to do. But it's peer recruiting 101 for this weekend. And some of the, as an Ohio State staffer told me on the sidelines for the Maryland game, the big dogs are coming. And that's Devin Sanchez. That's Dorian Brew. That's Trey McNutt. Those are very, very important prospects for Ohio State in the 2025 class cycle. I really got to wake up, man. Devin Sanchez and Dorian Brew, looking at the at those corner positions. Ohio State, those are both takes right now. Like, if Sanchez or Brew decided to call Tim Walton, Ohio State's cornerback coach, and say, hey, you know what, Coach Walt, I'm ready. I'm ready to commit. That green light exists right now. So they could commit at any time if they want to. Obviously, they're not going to. Like, this is going to be a – when you are that good of a football player, you're going to want to take your time. I think why you took Devin Sanchez at your as your second pick is merely because this is a recruitment, and we've talked about this before at length. This is a recruitment where 6 months, 4 months ago, whenever June was, Ohio State felt like it had no chance. You know, he showed up at camp and they were just like, oh yeah, like, you know, he's going to get a workout in and stuff like that. But, you know, we don't really feel like, you know, we're, you know, anything's going to come from this. And here we are, October 19th, and this kid has had a countdown on his Instagram for when he's visiting Ohio State for this game. And, like, he's had that countdown since, like, the beginning of the month, maybe even the end of September, which is kind of one and the same if you really want to get into the nitty-gritty of it. But, like, kids don't do that for just any reason. These kids are so smart, okay? Like, they don't just do things like that for the attention. Maybe some do, but I don't get that vibe from him, Spence. Like, this is a kid who's really listened to the message that Ohio State has put in there. He's seen the work that Ohio State has done from practice to games and has seen what this secondary has done this year. And now he gets a chance to see that in person in front of what's probably going to be 107,000. They're going to find the extra 2,000 seats in there because I think it's really only 105,000 capacity, but they've managed to find 107 every now and then. So for your Devin Sanchez pick, it's really like that's the guy. That is the guy. And then I'm just going to go into the third round here, if you don't mind. And I'm going to do the duo of Dorian Brew, Trey McNutt. Still trying to figure out Trey McNutt's actual, like, specific position. He could be a corner. He could be a safety. He's a damn good football player. Like, I'll tell you that much. I mean, you watch his tape and you're just like, oh my God. Yeah. That kid is a power five defensive back. You could put him in any spot and he'll probably be okay, you know? So he's an Ohio State legacy. His dad and uncle, I think, were on the 02 national championship team. Someone fact check me on that one in the comments, please. I don't want to mess that
Matt,
up.
You know, while you're talking about Trey McNutt, you say he's just a really good football player and he kind of goes with anything. He can play anywhere. He can do a lot of things. He's pretty versatile. I hate to cut you off, man, but I got to tell you about something that is also versatile that can go with anything that we can put anywhere and it works.
Hang on. I know exactly where you're going. Okay. And I just want the folks at home to know. This is an all-time bad read by Spencer, cutting me off in the middle of a line. But go ahead. Go ahead.
The bird dog's khaki shorts, man. Okay? They go with everything. I just wore them to football to the Woody Hayes Athletic Center on Wednesday. Your birthday was a couple days ago. How did you spend your birthday? In comfort with bird dogs. That's how comfortable they are. You want to wear them on your birthday. If you don't want to wear anything at all, you might as well just put on the bird dogs because they feel like you're not wearing anything and you're out in public and everything's not just – out. So that's how confident I am that these bird dogs feel like you're wearing nothing. We had a guy in the comments say, hey, I just bought a pair of shorts I don't need. And I tell you what, you do need them. Because if you don't have a pair of bird dogs, you do need them. Right now at birddogs.com/LR, you can get a free Hydro Flask style water bottle with your first purchase. Birddogs.com/LR, or just use that promo code LR at checkout. these Bird Dog shorts, I have them on right now under me. You don't want to see just the shorts region, which is fine. I'm not going to stand up and show you, but I pinky promise I have them on right now. I got complimented on them. They say Bird Dogs on the butt, so you know that you're wearing them because everyone's going to look at your butt because your butt looks great in them. That's just how Bird Dogs are built. They're built different, Matt. I can't say good enough things about Bird Dogs. And for the first time, I'm willing to admit, I had never heard of Bird Dogs. Last year, I got a pair. I asked for a pair of them because I saw them in an Instagram ad. I saw a pair of them. I asked for a pair. I got a pair of them for Christmas. I wore them all the time. And then all of a sudden it's like, hey, Bird Dogs wants to partner with you guys. And it's like, hell yes, sign me up, because these things are incredible. And I know you have some good things to say about them.
Yeah, it's starting to get cold out there as well. And we pump up the Bird Dog shorts, but the pants. And it's worth the investment, folks. I think once we finish up this here show, I actually might go buy a pair and have them sent to the old place of residency, because Big Ten weather is coming, man. Big Ten weather is here, and it's chilly out there on the sidelines taking photos of the games, and I'd like to be comfortable, you know.
I also stuck one to 18 inches on a par three the other day while wearing the Bird Dogs pants. I'm not saying it was because of the pants, but I don't do that when I'm wearing other pants, because I've only done that once in my life, and it was in the Bird Dogs. I think it was some Bird Dogs magic. But if you go to birddogs.com/LR, you get that free Hydro Flask style water bottle with any purchase. Matt, back to recruiting. I'm sorry, but the transition was there and I had to take it. Dorian Brew and Trey McNutt.
That's fine. I'm going to end my notes on Trey McNutt here. And shout out Bird Dogs, by the way. The timing.
If you're going to get cut off by something, you might as well get cut off by Bird Dogs.
That's fine. You know, that's fine. I am a Bird Dog stan, and that's that. I'm going to end my note here on Trey McNutt. And just really put home the point that he's an in-state guy. He's an Ohio State legacy. He knows the tradition of Ohio State and everything like that. Ohio State is very careful when it is recruiting, evaluating, scouting in-state prospects, especially more so when the kid has like direct ties to the program. That said, Trey McNutt, he has a spot in this class. He has a spot in that 2025 class. And when a guy like that is visiting campus, you got to be on your P's and Q's, you know? So going to Dorian Brew, this was a little bit of a late developing visit here. I saw that on the interwebs late Wednesday, and then got some confirmation about it from Ohio State Thursday morning. He has since moved from the Dayton area to, I think it's Conroy, Texas, which is just outside of Houston. He has visited Texas, University of Texas, since he has moved out to the Lone Star State. But I still think this is an Ohio State recruitment. LSU could come in and make some noise because his family does have ties to LSU. And now that he's living down in that region, like, that could be pretty interesting. But I just think the effort and, you know, the foundation that Ohio State has laid for Dorian Brew, it can withstand him leaving the state. And it's pretty significant that, you know, he's been gone for only like a month, I think. And he's already coming back. So, like, take that for what it's worth, you know. But there are a lot of 2025 defensive back prospects that are very important to Ohio State, and they all are going to be on campus this weekend. So I think that's the end of my shtick for Devin Sanchez, Dorian Brew, and Trey McNutt. A couple of really quick notes, though, by the way. We did learn that Fahim Delane, safety from Good Counsel out there in Olney, Maryland, part of the DMV, he will not be visiting this weekend anymore. Had some things come up, so we hope all is well with him. And then, who else was it? There was another 2025 safety. The name escapes my head at the moment. But
Tony Williams.
Yes. Tony Williams will also not be visiting, even though we found out last week that he was going to. So things change. But
there's a good chance, Matt, that he visits in November, according to some Letterman Road sources that you and I both kind of worked on a little bit. Got word on the field before the game, full disclosure, in the name of transparency, Matt, because that's what we are here. We're a transparent show. You can't see through us, but we're transparent. Got some confirmation Tony Williams was going to visit this weekend. Something came up. They'd like for him to still get up here in November. So look for possibly that Michigan State game. If that doesn't work, look for that Minnesota game. But at some point, I would expect him on campus in November. I was told there's a, quote, good chance he visits in November for the Michigan State game.
Which, like, you told me that on Saturday before Ohio State-Purdue kicked. And I was like, oh, I did my homework on the kit. I'm a fan. He's a good football player. So I think it would be good for Ohio State if Tony Williams could make it up to Columbus, particularly against that for Michigan State, because I think Ohio State's going to beat them 100-0. So, because they are bad. That's not an actual score prediction, by the way. So, like, in a month from now, when people are, you know, when the internet arises to the occasion, oh, he said you're going to win 100-0. Well, I'm speaking in hyperbole, okay? So, yeah. All right, Spence.
They stink.
We're in the third round here. My third round pick was the combo of, yes, we can take – it's our show. We can do what we want. I took a combo pick of Dorian Brew, Trey McNutt in the third round. Who is your third round draft pick? Go.
I think the fourth round is going to be the Justin Fry hour on this show. So I'm going to go ahead and move my fourth round pick to the third round. That way we can spend the whole fourth round talking about Justin Fry across three different classes. So let's go Amaris Williams, the Florida commit from North Carolina. This is a kid who I think Ohio State is really starting to like, who Ohio State has gotten in on here recently. Ohio State doesn't do a lot of spatula-ing. They're not really an outfit that hits the grill very often, but if there's ever a time to grill in the Midwest, it's October, November, December. Get those spatulas out, Buckeyes. It could be flip season.
There's never a bad time to grill in the Midwest, let's be honest.
Oh yeah,
like you and I both on our own separate times have grilled like in January. So like
I've grilled in, there's nothing like the house slippers with a pair of shorts and a coat on out grilling in the Midwest when it's 27 degrees.
Oh, but yeah, that's the best.
The Buckeyes are going to try to do some flipping. And Amaris Williams is a huge visit. Is it Amaris or Amaris? We're going to find out more at LettermanRoad.com. This guy, though, Ohio State really likes. He's like a combo defensive lineman. Not sure. A little bit of a tweener prospect just because – like body types anymore. Ohio State gets these kids on campus and you don't know where they're going to go. There was a time where we thought JT Tuimoloau could morph into a three tech. Look at him now. He's like the truest defensive end they have. So there was a time where, you know, Jason Moore could have potentially played defensive end. I promise that is not happening. So it's just one of those things, right, where you're not going to put him into a position. And I think that's the best thing for Ohio State. You've already got Justin Scott. You've already got Edrick Houston in this class. You've already got Eric Mensah in this class. I think it's good to get a guy who you're not really sure about where he's going to play. And I think Edrick Houston's probably going to play on the outside because it's where he wants to play. Justin Scott's definitely on the interior. So if you get a couple of these combo guys along with a couple of good interior guys, I think that you're looking at a class where you start to alleviate the pressure of defensive ends that you need, because Houston could play on the outside. If you get Amaris Williams, he could play on the outside. Ohio State likes these kids from North Carolina. They've done it before. Not with great success, but they've done it before. Jacoby Cowan, you look at him. Jaden McKenzie's from North Carolina. Like, they know how to recruit that area. They're not afraid to recruit it either. So I think that's a big visit. It's just one that I wanted to make sure we highlight before we get out of here.
Yeah, I want to throw in the wrinkle as well. Two things. One, Florida has recruited him and scouted him and evaluated him as a defensive end. But obviously, like, Ohio State's process is completely different than how they do it down in Gainesville. But just adding some context to your point, just so people are like, oh, where does he get this comparison? Well, that's because that's what Florida sees. So, like, maybe that's what Ohio State sees. I don't know. Also, this is, I don't want to say speculation or anything like that. This is just a thought that I have. And we're in the business of exercising thoughts. So let's here. Let me set the scenario here for you. Okay, so follow me. It's Saturday, about 10:45 or so, right? 10:45 to 11:15. That's usually like that time frame when the youths walk out of the South Tunnel into Ohio Stadium and they see the spectacle that is a game day in Columbus. And let's say a certain edge rusher from Chicago, Illinois, who is committed to Miami, maybe was at one point a silent commit to Ohio State, but then things changed. And I'm not saying he's not expected on campus this weekend, this hypothetical prospect. What would your reaction be? Excuse me. What would your reaction be if you saw someone who maybe was like Marquise Lightfoot who showed up to Ohio State, Penn State on Saturday? Again, that's a complete hypothetical thought. I'm not saying that he's visiting. I'm not saying that I'm expecting him to be there. I am just thinking. That's all.
Interesting. Yeah, that's interesting. That's interesting. Okay.
So
I would think that that's probably good news for Ohio State. But I also think it's good news for Ohio State that they're getting a kid from North Carolina who's committed to Florida and doesn't really have a lot of ties to Florida other than the fact that he was recruited hard to Florida on campus. So, I mean, it would be great to get a hypothetical Midwestern prospect who plays defensive end on campus. If you can't, though, I think that it would be good. Not a consolation. As low as On3 is, and I think the guys at On3 do an incredible job. Cody Belair, Charles Power do an incredible job, but they're lower on Amaris Williams than anybody else is. There's one recruiting service that has him as the number 45 player in America. On3 doesn't have him ranked in the top 300. Industry rankings, he's number 110. He's the number 14 defensive lineman in the class. I'm not going to compare him to Midwestern area recruits who were at one time silently committed to Ohio State and then chose to go to Miami, but if that were a thing. But I think he's a good player. So if he's a confirmed visitor right now, he deserves to be on this list. But if there's a surprise visit that does happen, then I would probably say he gets bumped off of this list, but just by default, because you have to make room for another guy who's a bigger time visitor. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And that's why I wanted to air out my thoughts, because it's a madhouse up here. So like I just got to air things out, you know, that's all it is. Thanks for humoring me here.
Hey, Matt.
Go ahead.
You ready for the Justin Fry hour?
I sure am.
All right. Well, before we get there, you know what else is going to be a madhouse on Saturday?
I think I know the answer to that question.
Not just your thoughts, but the horseshoe, college game day, big noon kickoff, Gus and Joel, tailgates out the you-know-what. And if you want to be a part, yeah, if you want to be a part of all of that game day action on High Street down to the horseshoe, go to the Game Time app or gametime.co. Use the promo code Buckeyes for $20 off your first purchase. Hey, tickets are very expensive. I get it. They are probably too expensive. I saw the lowest ticket price was a flash sale. And let's talk about Game Time for a second. Game Time does these flash sales where it's like, hey, this ticket's very expensive. Let's put it on sale for 20 minutes. And if you get on at the right time, you're getting a pretty good deal on a ticket. I saw one for $205 when the other cheapest tickets yesterday were like $250.
Hey.
And then also, if you use the promo code Buckeyes at checkout when you hear about this from the show, you get $20 off. Then you're getting a ticket for under $200. That's almost face value. So I think you're doing pretty well if you use the Game Time app or gametime.co. Of course, terms apply with those ticket prices, but use that promo code Buckeyes for $20 off your first purchase in the Game Time app. They also do this thing, Matt, where if you find a ticket on Game Time, let's say for $315, because we've got to talk in terms of realistic prices for this game, and then you find a ticket elsewhere for, you know, $300, then that's also in the same row or same section that you bought the ticket on Game Time. Game Time will refund you 110% the difference of that ticket price, so you can save a little bit extra money along with using the promo code Buckeyes for $20 off your first purchase. Of course, for all of that, terms apply, but it's a pretty cool thing that Game Time does. So go to the Game Time app, go to gametime.co, use that promo code Buckeyes for $20 off your first purchase in the app on the website. And you can go see Ohio State, Penn State. It's a cool matchup. When the Scarlet goes against the all-white at Penn State, like, it's a cool scene on the field. And the atmosphere is going to be absolutely rocking. The recruits are going to be there. I suggest you don't yell at the recruits unless you have positive things to say to them. But if that's your thing, go cheer for Ohio State to get some recruits. Go cheer for Ohio State to get a dub and move to 7-0. I think it's a good thing. And you can use the Game Time app to do it all, save some coin. How would you say, Matt?
Hey, sign me up, man. I enjoyed your price point of 315, talking about Ohio State using State Route 315. I don't think that was intentional by any means, but that was nice.
Buddy, 315 is a...
Oh, getting... Yeah, don't get... We could be here for 4 hours, me talking about 315 right now.
You're not from Columbus unless you complain about 315 once a month.
I have to use 315 just about every single day if I want
to go
somewhere, and it... Ugh. All right.
The Justin Fry Hour, presented by Game Time and Bird Dogs, is here. The fourth round, Matt. I think you're going to draft 2025s. I think I'm going to draft 2026s. Maybe we'll draft some 2024s, because let me tell you, buddy, the battle between Ohio State and Penn State is going to be determined by if Ohio State can block Penn State. The future battles between Ohio State and Penn State are going to happen if Ohio State can recruit guys to block Penn State at a high level. So that's why the end of this show is all about the big boys up front. And now you have the... I concede the rest of my time on the floor.
You win and die in the trenches. You know, that's real. That's the truth. That is the truth of the matter. Not a pick, but I do want to give a quick shout out to the Armstrong twins. They will be making their... Actually, the entire 2024 offensive line class of Deontay and Devontae Armstrong and Ian Moore, all three are expected in Columbus on Saturday. That's the first time all three of them have been on campus, A, at all this fall, and B, together since, I believe, Ohio State, Michigan last year. So there you go. But my pick, and this is where I said we were going to talk about him later, later is now, four-star 2025 offensive tackle Carter Irwell. Spoke with Carter after his game Friday. A good performance by Carter, a not so great performance by Whitmer. They lost, it was like 40 to not a good loss. There's not such a thing as a great loss, but you get what I mean here. To Finley, Ryan Montgomery, 2025 quarterback. He looked really good, by the way. But we're talking about Carter Lowe here. I'm not going to say like he's the guy for Ohio State in this 2025 offensive line cycle just yet. Cause there are some big fish out there. Like, you know, David Sanders still exists. Mason Short is a guy that, like, even though he's committed to Alabama, and Alabama commits visiting Ohio State on Saturday, 2025 Alabama commit is visiting Ohio State. You can check out who for that 50% off deal right now. Just saying. Yeah, I'm getting pretty good at this. Carter Lowe, I think Carter Lowe has to be the most important Ohio prospect for Ohio State right now. Excuse me, not the Bobcats. And that's with Marquise Davis, Bo Jackson, Trey McNutt, Dorian Brewers in Texas, but like kind of you get it. Like, to me, Carter Lowe has to be the most important remaining uncommitted in-state prospect. It would be Tavian St. Clair, but Tavian St. Clair, the quarterback, four-star quarterback from Bell Fountain, Ohio, has been committed since June. Not a big deal. Tavian will also be on campus this weekend. So Carter is so important, though, because he is a homegrown offensive tackle. In the On3 database right now, he's listed at 6'5", 285. I'm going to have to text my guys, Cody and Charles, about that, because he's probably about 6'6", 315 right now. And it's a good 315. Like, he's big. Great in pass sets. He is an important guy for Ohio State. That relationship with him and Justin Fry in my opinion, and just in talking with him and like really listening to what he was saying Friday night after his game, like that relationship with him and Justin Fry is second to none. I think Justin Fry is the most important coach in his recruitment and Carter's recruitment. And then for Ryan Day to head up to Toledo as well during the Buckeyes bye week, that spoke volumes to Carter. This is not a direct quote that he said to me, but you know, he was just like, he that stuck with him, you know, like that mattered to him. Carter's very much a relationship kind of guy. And so for Ohio State's head coach to do what he's expected to do, quite honestly, like, yeah, Ryan Day needs to go out on the road when they have a bye week. But you don't really see a whole lot of coaches go out on the road during a bye week anymore. And I only have my Ohio State blinders on right now, you know, but like that man racked up his frequent flyer miles during Ohio State's bye week. Was at the Woody for practice and then would leave and go recruit. So all of this to say, Carter Lowe is fresh off a game day visit to Ann Arbor, and he likes the product that Michigan has. Obviously, being back-to-back Joe Moore Award winners, like that counts for something. Beating Ohio State 2 years in a row counts a lot. Winning the Big Ten counts a lot. But that relationship with Ohio State is ahead of where that relationship is with Michigan. And that's what matters. So that's why it matters that he's making his third visit to Ohio State in like 5 weeks. So I'm not putting him on commit watch right now. I think if he hadn't gone to Michigan, I would have, but there are some things that are going to be coming up in the works with Carter. That's his news to share. So I think I'm expecting this to go into the spring, quite honestly. But I think Ohio State is running this right now as it stands. So their offensive line has to play well on Saturday, though. I will say he made a mention on Friday that, you know, he hears the word dominance when talking about Michigan, and he wants to hear that about Ohio State. So, like, Ohio State has to play well. That offensive line has to play well and make – because like that stuff matters, man. Like, I don't think people talk about that enough. I know that we don't, but like how current position units play does a lot on the recruiting trail, right? And like the proof in the pudding there is the secondary. Look at all of the interest that Ohio State has in the secondary on the recruiting trail right now. You look at what they have done in the 2024 cycle, really specifically at corner. And I will admit, like, it really helps that, you know, two of the best corners in the country both happen to be from Ohio. Like, that's pretty nice. Like, I will be honest there. But the kids watch, you know, kids want to see what they can turn into. So this offensive line this weekend, like, it's important. And Carter Lowe is important. So that's who my pick is.
I'm picking three guys in one. Don't care. This is our show.
I did two, so you can do three.
Yeah, 2026, another year for offensive linemen. That is 11 entire years after I graduated high school. I think I'm going to walk off the show. Sam Greer, Archbishop Hoban, however you say it, don't care. 6'8", 290 as a 2026. That is a massive man for a – kid who is just now learning to drive. 6'3", 260, Maxwell Riley. Also going to be on campus from Avon Lake, a place that up there that doesn't really love Ohio State as much as you would think. Cleveland areas, there's some Michigan, there's some Ohio State. Don't be surprised if that's a recruitment that goes in the Midwestern direction between Justin Fry and Sharon Moore, provided Sharon Moore is still at Michigan. I have my doubts. And then this is important. I don't know anything about this person, but your list says that Micah Smith is visiting from Vero Beach, Florida, 2026 offensive tackle. He's 6'6", he's 285, and he's from Florida, and he's coming up for a game day visit at Ohio State. On3 Recruiting Prediction Machine says Georgia's running that recruitment right now. They're the biggest program that has offered.
in this thing. Penn State's offered, Ohio State's offered, but Georgia has offered a kid from Florida. That's a recruitment that you could see Ohio State really work its way into. Those are three way different body types, though. When you talk about 6'6", 285, 6'3", 260, and then 6'8", 290, you're talking about guard, swing, guard, and then a swing, and then a complete tackle. Greer, I think, is a tackle at 6'8". I think Max Riley is probably right now maybe a guard.
Yeah, I could see that. He looks right now. I think he visited for Western Kentucky.
Mm-hmm. He did. One of them.
It was Western Kentucky. He looks like, and he's athletic as hell, man. Mm-hmm. Like he'd be a good guard.
So those three, I think, are just all names to watch because you're going to hear about them for the next 3 years. So there's no point in not highlighting that they're visiting, especially the third one, Micah. If a kid from Florida is already generating enough interest to come up here and get up here for a visit, he's obviously interested. Vero Beach is also where Leroy Roker, I think, is from. And so, no, it's not.
His school, which is Bishop Vero.
Man, that is stupid. That's very...
He is silent, by the way. It's V-E-R-O-T.
Let's call it Verrett just for the fun of it.
Verrett.
All right. Sure. Well, Matt, who's on commit watch? Let's get out of here.
We have one more. We have one more round. I thought we were doing five.
All right, let's do another one.
Well, we don't have to, but I will say I just want to talk about this kid, this one prospect here.
No, let's do another one. I got more names. I can come up with one. I don't have one written down on the sticky note, but I can come up
with one.
That's
fine. If we have learned anything in this show, it's that I've been rambling all morning. So, like, that's fine. I haven't slept much this week, but you can see by the bags under my eyes. Me and Ryan Day are on the same sleep schedule. I'll say that right now. My fifth and final pick is another in-state guy in the 2025 cycle. This is a big thing, by the way, and I should have set this precedent at the front of the show here. Ohio State, like, they just need a few more pieces for 2024, which is why, like, we're gassing up 2025. Because Ohio State gets their stuff done early. You know, like, that's just – they are not like an Auburn or another place that, like, when they find their guys and their guys are committed, they recruit the kids that are committed. Right. So, like, the fact that basically the entire 2024 class is there, like, Ohio State is going to treat them as uncommitted kids and recruit them as such. And that's why those kids are going to go to Ohio State, by the way. Just a really quick note. Like, if people were like, why isn't he talking? Like, why aren't they talking about, like, edge rushers and, like, all of this stuff? And I'm like, well, I promise you, A, we did. But also, Michigan State, I think, is going to be the game where Ohio State 2024 targets. That's the one. So keep that in the back of your mind, folks. My fifth and final pick here is a 2025 prospect. He's an edge. He's a linebacker. He can, you know, kind of do it all. That's the four-star prospect, Justin Hill, from Cincinnati, Ohio, out there, Winton Woods High School, a place that's been very good to Ohio State with Mayan Williams and now Jermaine Matthews, the former five-star cornerback from the 2023 cycle. Justin Hill's a good ball player, man. Talked with him late Wednesday night. This is a kid who's been more of an edge rusher this year, this fall, for Winton Woods, just because that's what his team has needed of him. However, he told me last night that he is bumping back to playing outside linebacker. So the fact that he can go back and forth between each position pretty seamlessly is very impressive to me, especially at a program like that, that consistently is going to the playoffs, that won a state title 2 years ago. So, like, that's a big deal. He's up to about 6'4", although he admitted he's on the short end of 6'4", which I did appreciate that he owned up to that. That was pretty funny. 6'4", 215. So the frame is there. Talking with some folks at Ohio State, they are kind of viewing him more as an edge rusher compared to a linebacker, just because of the tape that they've seen. he just happens to be like, if he continues to go down the edge rusher spot for Ohio State, he might be the most athletic edge rusher like Ohio State's ever had if he continues to grow, which is like a pretty bold take right there because he's only, you know, 16, 17 years old. But the fact that he can go back and forth between being an edge rusher and playing outside linebacker is pretty impressive, in my opinion. He's up to 13 sacks, by the way, through nine games, which playing ball in the conference that he plays in down in Cincinnati, again, very impressive. Justin told me Wednesday night that he only had three games circled on his calendar that he wanted to go to this fall. Alabama, Texas, which he did make it to. And I would say to the folks at home that Alabama is an actual school in this recruitment. He has connections to like distant relatives and stuff like that that live in Alabama. So like Alabama absolutely is a school to watch in this recruitment. Alabama, Texas, Ohio State, Penn State, and then Ohio State, Michigan in November. So that's two opportunities for the Buckeyes to impress, one of which they can actually like engage with him and interact with him. The other one, they just have to play good ball because you can't, I don't believe you can talk to. No. Yeah, you can't do that. So they have two opportunities to impress, and they absolutely have to knock it out of the park this weekend with a kid that's an hour and a half away that has SEC interests and interest in Michigan. So that's my fifth and final pick.
Yeah, I'll go Elijah Melendez. I don't have a lot to say about it. He's a big-time recruit, big-time prospect, linebacker. James Laurinaitis and that staff really like him. I don't have a lot to say. That's my fifth. If I had to take a fifth pick, that'd be my pick because I planned for four, but I took three with my fourth-round pick and – yeah, so I was planning on taking two with my first round pick. So I've taken nine.
Not a math show, man. We say it every week. Not a math show.
We're not a math show, Matt. Actually, we're a recruiting show. Make sure to like and subscribe this video. Please like the video. It's great. If you're watching, you might as well hit the little thumbs up there and like it. We got rid of the fireworks. I can do this all I want, and we don't have any fireworks anymore. That's a good sign with Matt Parker and Spencer Holt because that really got us off the rails in the last episode. We got off the rails for the fun of it today, but that's because we're a fun show. We like to have fun.
Too short to not have fun. Can't be serious all the time, you know. Like, where's the fun in that?
A lot of fun going to happen in the horseshoe on Saturday. Not on the horseshoe, I guess, on the turf in the horseshoe on Saturday between the Buckeyes and Nittany Lions. The recruits will all be there, as will Letterman Rowe, Tim May, Andy Backstrom, and I up in that press box. Matt Parker down on the field taking photos, talking to folks, not the kids, because you can't talk to kids while they're on their visits. But he'll be taking photos of the kids and all of that, all fun stuff. Come catch that at LettermanRoe.com. You can get the whole deal, the whole kit and caboodle, 50% off for an entire year right now until Sunday night. That's when the deal expires. Then we'll see if we can get another deal in the works for you guys. Get that Letterman Rowe content that you've come to know and love from the entire gang. Until then, until Saturday, we will see you guys back here next week for another edition of the Letterman Lounge. See you on Saturday in the horseshoe for Ohio State, Penn State. This has been the Letterman Lounge. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We'll see you guys back here next week.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.